tensions between the U.S. and Syria, a step forward and a step back.
Days after President Obama sent his top advisors to Syria with the hopes of improving relations between the two countries, the White House announced yesterday they plan on renewing U.S. sanctions against Syria because it poses a threat to U.S. interests. The renewal of sanctions is required by Congress. Obama's point man on Syria, Jeffrey Feltman, said his talks with the Syrian foreign minister were, quote, constructive. In the Middle East, Rena Ninen, Fox News Radio.
What a celebration this Mother's Day for right whales. Right whales gave birth to a record 39 calves this spring. The New England Aquarium in Boston says that breaks the old record of 31 and is way better than 2000 when just one calf was born. There are fewer than 400 right whales in the world. It's not easy to give birth to a baby right whale. They weigh around 24,000 pounds at birth. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. Looks really nice and sunny this weekend. We're going to have sunny skies today, high of 74, west-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low of 52 and northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 76, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And your boaters forecast for the Monterey Bay. We got the northwest winds at 5 to 15 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds and patchy fog. Tonight, the west winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming northwest 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 9 seconds and patchy fog. Sunday, we are going to have the north winds 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, and patchy fog. Also have some current temperatures here for you. It's 57 degrees in Monterey. It's 55 in Salinas, 55 in Watsonville, and we are at 55 as well here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO studios. I have a little announcement here to remind you guys that today the letter carriers stamp out hunger food drive. So basically the postal workers will be collecting non-perishable foods today for donation to Second Harvest Food Bank. All you got to do is set out your non-perishable foods right by your mailbox and they will pick it up and you can contribute to this great cause. Now, the official time, 10:07 and 11 seconds on this Saturday, May 9th, 2009. Up next, we have the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. Don't turn the dial, because here he comes, the man himself, MZ.
He the man. When you said what date this was.
Oh, yeah?
May 9th?
Yeah.
There was a special significance to that date.
Oh, May 9th.
Not uh-oh, it's good.
No, uh-oh, that I forgot, or...
Nah, there was no way for you to know this.
Oh, okay.
May 9th is my half birthday.
Oh, man, you're one of those.
I am 57 and a half today. Pretty cool, huh?
That is cool.
Yeah.
You're 57?
57 and a
no,
half.
No, you're not.
What did you think I was? 67? You probably...
No, I thought you were in your 40s.
No.
Upper 40s.
Nah, you're just
I didn't think
up.
You were in your 50s.
Nah, you're just...
Well, I have to suck up.
Very sweet.
No. Seriously, right. You look young.
Thank you so
you're
much.
You're so
I
mean, welcome.
Most people think I look older because of the gray hair.
Oh, no.
Anyhow, so let's see, Nikki.
Let's see.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in the parking lot here.
Actually,
making collections for the Second Harvest. Is that right?
I'm not sure if that is related. It might be a beach cleanup. I'm not quite sure. I didn't ask them. But here's another thing: is if you don't, if you can't leave your food by your mailbox, you're not home or whatnot. There will also be collection barrels available in Aptos Branch 40 Central. Pajaro Valley, Santa Cruz, Watsonville fire stations through Tuesday. So you
good.
Can still drop them off.
This is wonderful.
Through Tuesday. Yeah, isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Now, everything is fine, but where's my spray? Here.
Oh, yeah, you need to spray up. There we go.
Yeah, it still works here because, you know, here, spray the microphone so you catch the flu. I'm telling the guests.
Catch the swine flu.
All right. We don't want the swine flu.
We sure
all right.
Don't.
Yeah, we have two guests in the studio and one guest on the phone right now, but, you know, we can't do anything. Can't do anything until we start the show.
Officially?
Officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California. Welcome to your favorite radio station's favorite program for most people. At least that's what Nikki's told me in the past. It's the Saturday special. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. It's an interactive program. We invite your participation. We have a phone number for you to call if you want to become part of the program, which we hope you will do. Today, we're going to have a real interesting topic, so be sure to stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Wait, that's wrong. I didn't get that right here. We go right into the promo here. Then we do the fanfare, right? Did I get that right finally? Okay, here.
Calling all young people, intelligent, involved young people, that is. We have wanted for years to broadcast a regular talk program on KSCO by, for, and about young people. Trouble is, most young people couldn't care less about politics and world affairs when there's partying, sex, and social networking on most agendas. Not to mention, most young people haven't even heard of the AM radio band and thus don't even know about talk radio. It was very refreshing then for me to attend the recent Panetta Institute Lecture Series debate between Karl Rove and David Plouffe, who is the former campaign manager for Barack Obama. The event was in Monterey. But as always, the best part of the event was the session held at the Cal State University Monterey Bay campus, in which a large group of area high school and college students were given their own private access to the two political heavyweight speakers. There were some wonderful, exciting moments, and it would have made great radio. But guess what? We have some young people from that event scheduled for the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on It's About Time We Focused on the Future Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
All right, so I'm playing the crossfire. We'll probably get into some controversialness today.
I hope so.
You hope so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been too
mellow.
We took 2 weeks off. We took 2 weeks off from the politics and the and the fighting and everything.
Get
and we
back
didn't
to
get
it.
As many phone calls as we normally do.
Yeah.
So it made me think that people don't care about anything but fighting about politics.
Well, Michael Olson got a lot of calls last show. Did you hear that on your way in?
No, just the last 5 minutes or so. Yeah, and that was pretty good, especially that last call. I wish you could have stayed on forever.
Yep.
You know? Well, in any case, welcome to the Saturday special. And as the promo said, we have some fine young people here in the radio station with us. Two, to be exact. And one fine young person on the telephone with us. Let's. I'm going to need your help. Is Daniel Christopher Soriano. Is that right?
Actually, it's
Christopher Daniel Catan.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean,
it's a misconception.
You're not the first.
What did you say when you got up and asked the question of Karl Rove and Dave Plouffe? What did you say? You said it real. You said your name in a funny accent, real fast, and it was
funny accent.
Yeah. What did you say? Because you didn't say it the way I said it and the way you just said it now.
Well, the thing is that I'm Mexican, so I said it like Christopher Daniel Soriano Palma, the way I would say it to my family, to people back. Yeah, well, that's how I say it.
And you did that just because you are who you are, and that's the way you normally say it. Is it right? Or were you just sort of sticking, you know, were you just sort of having a good time?
No, because that's really how I say my name.
Okay.
Just I say it more in that accent that I use right now.
Yeah.
To help people understand.
Like, uh-huh. I gotcha. Well, that's good. Now, what should I call you? I'm supposed to call you the whole thing, right?
No.
What do you go by?
I usually go by Daniel.
Daniel, okay. All right, Daniel. Who's your friend?
Right here.
who's your friend with you? Yeah.
The driver.
Oh, you drive. Oh, are you young enough to? Are you too young to drive?
No, but he's my older brother. His name is. I don't know if he wants to say his name himself.
Why not?
Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe he'd want to say it in a tone I did.
In a tone.
Okay. Well, what is your name, older brother?
My name is Miguel.
Miguel. Okay. Hey, that's my name too.
Is it?
All right. Yeah, Miguel. Miguel, swear for me. Okay, and on the telephone, we have our good friend, well, about to become a good friend, presumably, Eileen Lewis. And I really am happy you've decided to join us here, Eileen, because there was some question about whether you were going to do that today, right?
Good morning and happy half birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you
so
much. Are you in San Jose? Where are you?
No, I'm in Monterey.
Oh, you're in Monterey. Okay, great. Yeah, so let me sort of set the stage for our audience and sort of let people know what's going on here. Four times a year, generally between the months of March and June, the Panetta Institute, that's Leon and Sylvia Panetta, and the Institute for Public Policy is based at Cal State University, Monterey Bay, the old Fort Ord campus. That I think Leon, when he was a representative, a congressman from our area, was very instrumental in getting to become a university, a campus of the Cal State University system. And then he got kicked. Well, he got kicked upstairs in the Clinton administration. He was head of office of management and budget, and then soon after that, he got to be the chief of staff to Bill Clinton himself, and that lasted for 2 or 3 years. And then he came back back home here to establish the Panetta Institute for Public Policy, which, among other things, does its best to get young people primed for public service careers in government and so forth. And I think they do an amazing job. This lecture series of four lectures per year have been going on for, I think, 11 years now, maybe even 12. And they always have a really interesting program that is attended. It's always on a Monday night, and it's attended by all the movers and shakers, you know, in the Monterey Bay Area. People from Monterey, Santa Cruz, and so forth. And each of these people pay, I think it's $80 or $85 a ticket to watch these, you know, interesting, usually political-type people debate each other, people from both sides. But what I find is much more fascinating than that particular program, which is itself extremely fascinating and interesting, is the program that's not even publicized, that no one pays anything to go to, and I don't know if anybody can go, or if I just got to go because I'm a member of the press or whatever. But when these heavyweights, these people that are there to do each lecture series, get to be have a private audience with young people, representatives from area colleges, universities, and high schools, and I'm not really sure how that selection process takes place. Eileen and Daniel and maybe Miguel can bring us up to speed on that, in just a minute here. But it's just fascinating to watch these, you know, hundreds of people who are young people ask questions and interact. It's just really neat. I just wish we could do something like that with on the radio here on KSCO. But that's pretty much what we're all about anyhow. We don't necessarily get these heavyweight political people on very often, but in my opinion, that particular interaction with the young people is just there's nothing like it anywhere, and I was disappointed that it wasn't recorded so that we might be able to play a recording of that. Anyhow, the people that are here with me today are people who stood up in that audience and asked questions. And I at the end of the whole event, I passed out my business card to a number of these young people and said, please give me a call tomorrow. I want to talk to you about being on the radio with me here soon. And Daniel was one person who got in touch with me. Eileen was another person. And there is a third person who will be joining us a little later on today, we hope. These are very involved young people who have jobs and who are very productive and not necessarily able to join us with 2 or 3 days advance notice when they've got jobs or other or studying for finals or whatever. Is that what you're doing, Eileen?
Yes, it is, but I'm definitely taking a break for this.
Okay, good. Now, you were, I think, the second person who stood up and asked a question. I think you're a member of some activist organization, am I right?
Yeah, I'm the president of the Young Democrats of Monterey County.
Uh-huh. Okay, and how long have you been doing that? And tell us what that entails, and how is it that you, at your age, have become interested in politics?
Well, we started up right after the primaries, after Barack Obama won the primaries. I was working on the campaign then, and then I realized that, you know, we need to get young people involved, basically, and there is a big need for young people to congregate in the county and to work together. And for the most part, we did a lot of voter registration. And it was also our goal to set up Democratic clubs around the peninsula. So we helped them establish their club at CSUMB. For starters, they are called the Dem Autocrats, if you get that.
the what?
The Dem Autocrats.
Oh, I thought you said the Dem Autocrats.
No,
you said that. Okay.
No, they do.
Autocrats. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, the otter is a CSUMB.
I'm getting old. My hearing is starting to fail.
That's fine. Yeah. Not a problem. And, yeah, you know, so I just really felt that urge to step up and register as many young voters as we possibly could. And we did about, throughout the county, about 600 to 800 people in a matter of a few weeks. So we're really happy about that.
Great.
That's basically...
Well, I tell you, that must have gone on all over the country, right? Because... That's a large part of the reason that Barack Obama got elected president, because there was record turnout at the polls from young people.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, it shows you the power that you guys wield.
Right.
You know, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So let's share with the audience, if you don't mind. I didn't know that you were going to be on for sure until this morning. At about 5 in the morning, I made the mistake. I'd gotten up to relieve nature's internal pressure. And before I went back to bed, I made the mistake of checking my email on my iPhone. And there was an email from you saying, essentially, I erroneously made the assumption that your station is a progressive radio station.
I did. You're based out of Santa Cruz.
It would seem, huh? It would seem, huh? Then I guess you must have checked our website and found that, among others, we have Rush Limbaugh on our station. Am I right?
That's correct.
And you made an assumption. What was that assumption?
My assumption was that I was going to be... put on the spot, kind of.
Ridiculed and attacked and made to feel real uncomfortable?
That was my assumption, but then you got back to me and I realized that wasn't the case. And I said, well, you know, I'd be more than happy to come on, so.
What was the topic of the Panetta Institute, the political, not political divide, the what?
Can the partisan divide ever end?
The what?
Partisan?
Partisan divide.
Yes.
Yeah, will the partisan divide ever end? And when I read your email this morning, Eileen, I said, oh, my God, this is a perfect example of why the partisan divide will never end, because people make assumptions that because, for example, a radio station carries Rush Limbaugh, that we got to be a redneck right-wing radio station with a bunch of angry people who are going to jump all over people with opposite points of view. And that just is not the case at all, and I guess I convinced you of that.
Yes.
So I'm really happy that you've joined us today. And I, as I said in the email where I was trying to convince you, we don't want to change anybody. We just want people to have to engage in civil discussion and civil debate, and not say, hey, you know, because you don't happen to believe the same have the same political beliefs as I do, that you don't have the right to breathe.
Well,
and I think that's there is so much of that. There's certainly a lot of that here in Santa Cruz. I mean, there are liberal people and there are progressive people and there are insanely liberal and progressive people. And the same thing on the other side. you know, a lot of the really ultra-conservative right-wing people do not want to hear anything of the other side. And I think that's a shame. Of course the political, or the, what's that word again? I keep forgetting the word.
Partisan.
Yeah, get closer to the microphone, Daniel.
Oh, okay, yeah. I will. Don't worry.
Yeah, because we want to be sure to hear you here. I can crank your mic up, I guess. But, it's always going to continue if people are not willing to engage in discourse with each other. Okay? So anyhow, I didn't know if anybody would respond, and I'm happy that two or three people did respond and that we're doing this radio program. I would like very much for this radio program to evolve into a regular radio program that's hosted by one of you guys or something, you know, most people who are young don't listen to talk radio. I listened to talk radio when I was 11 or 12 years old because my mom used to play it, you know, in the house and she was addicted
to talk radio.
Do you listen to talk radio? What station?
I listen to KRXA 540 down here.
Uh-huh. Now let me ask you, is there a reason, and do you listen to KGO San Francisco, for example?
No.
Why not?
I don't know the station number.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I won't give it. People know if they. I won't give a free ad to the other radio station. But, so you do listen to a station in your area that is pretty much liberal leaning. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there a reason that you do not want to listen? And I'm not. I don't mean to ask a leading question here, but is there a reason that you don't want to listen to anything, you know, other than the kind of, you know, political thoughts that you have already?
Well, you know, it's not that I'm not, you know, willing to listen to the ideas. It's basically that, well, I mean, I definitely agree more with what they're saying on that station, and if I do end up listening to someone like Limbaugh or something, I just get really heated, and when I'm driving to school, I don't feel like getting all upset like that.
Why get aggravated, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
The other side of that argument, though, is if you were to engage in respectful civil debate with people, say, on this station, and you are correct that more people tend to be conservative who listen to this station than not, although I think that's changing dramatically. I mean, I've noticed a tremendous change in the number and diversity of callers that we get to this station on our local programs. In recent months, we've instituted some changes, and we originate a lot more local programming here. We've got a guy who's a moderate conservative named Dr. Corey Gold, who comes on right after Rush Limbaugh, and he just loves to have people from the other side to, you know, to spar with. And it's good radio, you know, and they're mostly respectful of each other. Every once in a while, some caller calls and calls Corey a name, and instead of, you know, calling a name back, Corey sort of engages the person and tries to get the person to come out and be civil. Sometimes he can succeed, and sometimes he can't. Then we have a two-hour program afterwards from 2 to 4 called the David Corsi Show. And David is pretty much a liberal guy. And it was hard for him to get calls at first because we don't have a lot of liberal people listening to the radio, although, as I said, that's changing a lot. So David's starting to get a lot of calls, and we're starting to get just a broad diversity of phone calls, and I hope you'll start listening to our station because I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Okay.
But in any case, so where do you go to school?
Cal State Monterey Bay.
Okay, so you're actually that was home turf for you.
Yes, it was.
Do you attend all of those Panetta you know, lecture series?
I wish I could. The other one I attended was with Tom Daschle.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Levitt. That was the other one that I attended. But I missed the other. So I would love to attend every single one. I mean, like you're mentioning earlier, it's such a fantastic opportunity. I honestly don't think a lot of the kids that were there really understood. I mean, they may have, but really have known what a great and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity it was, you know, to hear these speakers come to our school, and for local high school students and Cal State students to see this. You know, we're not at the JFK's you know, School of Politics at Harvard, you know, so this is just a really great opportunity.
Daniel, you were there because I saw you, and you were the second or third person who asked a question. Miguel, were you there too?
No, but I had heard about it from my brother. I wish I could have gone. I mean,
now why couldn't you go? Because you were not. Do you have to be selected and especially or elected to go, or how does that work?
Well, in a way, it was kind of voluntary and also selective. The teachers come up to the students and say, "Are you interested at going to this? Or do you have a sense for politics? Do you wish, you think you can make a difference by asking them a question?" And obviously my brother, I will agree also, a teacher called him out. I agree, my brother's really good at that.
Uh-huh. Now, Daniel, I just remember the way you said your name and everybody was sort of laughing. I don't even remember what you asked. What did you ask when you stood up? What was your question?
Okay, my question had to do about the fact on immigration. Oh, excuse me.
No, go ahead. I'm going to turn my mic off.
All right, that's good. Okay. So my question had to do with immigration because, frankly, with Obama's campaign and presidency, I haven't really seen a lot of change in that. And during the Bush administrations, I've seen, like, a lot of, well, to me, what was negative change because they kept strengthening the borders, making it larger, funding all kinds of money just to not let these people inside. And so I really wanted to see what both of the sides would actually say on it, because this was a partisans divide debate. So if there really was no change in opinions, then there would actually be something that they wouldn't agree upon, because, well, there you go. They have something to agree upon.
And what was the answer from each person, from David Plouffe and from Karl Rove?
Well, first from David Plouffe. He was the first one who answered, and he just kept talking about how right now we have a lot more more important things that we need to focus on, such as the economy, the healthcare system, the job employments, which are rising with unemployment people. And then Karl Rove spoke and said that yes, he would like to do something about the immigration, but he would also like to stop illegal immigration because of the way that they just come in here and they expect to get the good side of the citizenship. But he says that for those people, that they have to understand that they have to wait on the back of the line and just wait their turn to be able to get the citizenship they want, because he kind of says that they sort of cheated.
Uh-huh. What do you think about the whole illegal immigration thing? I think I have an idea because... Well, go ahead. You speak.
Well, what I think about illegal immigration is that, first of all, we have to see why there's so much of it. I mean, it's not like people want to really come here illegally. The first thing they would want to do is get here legally and have no problems at all. And that's sort of kind of the trick to this question, because why is there so much illegal immigration? Why can't most people just come here if they want to? I mean, apparently with this, the U.S. has a little bit of a problem. The smartest people in the world want to come here in a country founded by immigrants itself. So traditionally, immigrants are sort of needed. But in the same way, why is there so much illegal immigration? If there was some sort of way to make immigration more legal, then we wouldn't be having this problem.
Sort of reminds me of building permits. I don't know, probably you don't pay much attention to that, but a lot of people who listen to and call this radio station are pretty upset about how difficult it is to get a building permit in Santa Cruz County or city. And as a result, a lot of people don't even bother to get building permits. They just go ahead and build their buildings. They build them, I think, to code, because who wants to live in something that's going to fall down?
True.
But they don't want to go through the hassle of it taking years and costing a fortune to get here. In hearing you talk, it makes me compare that whole scenario of illegal immigration and why there is illegal immigration, because what you're saying is that for people to immigrate legally, it's just too big and expensive a deal. Is that what you're suggesting?
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's the same thing. So I guess it's a government problem, just like it's a local government problem. That if the local governments were reasonable about granting building permits, then they wouldn't have so much illegal building going on. Right? So it's exactly the same kind of a thing. You're listening to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ in the studio with Daniel and Miguel Soriano. And on the telephone with Eileen Lewis, Daniel and Miguel are high school students in the Pajaro Valley area. You attend Pajaro Valley School? Pajaro School?
Pajaro Valley High School, yes.
Pajaro Valley High School.
Both of us.
Okay. And Eileen Lewis, our guest on the telephone from Monterey, attends Cal State University Monterey Bay at the old Fort Ord campus, which was and is the site of the wonderful Panetta Lecture Series. There's one more that's going to happen this year. I think it's going to be in early June, if I'm not mistaken. There isn't going to be one of these exchanges with the young people because you guys will be out of school by then, I think.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that right? Yeah. And normally, if school is in session, they have these things. They're always great. In fact, we carry the Panetta, each Panetta lecture live here on AM 1080 KSCO. It's always on a Monday night, and it always starts at about 7 p.m., and it lasts about an hour and a half. But leading up to that, during the day, when school is in session, they have this wonderful event that takes place with the kids, and I think it's just fantastic. So, you know what? It's 25 minutes before 10 a.m., I think we should do our commercial break, if that's okay with Nikki, pilot in command. Why don't we take that commercial break, and when we come back, we will I will go ahead and open the phone lines right now, invite people to call in. Not every day that you get a chance to talk to bright, vibrant, involved young people, so give us a call at 479-1080 if you choose to, and I think if you don't right away, I think we'll get into it a little later. But for right now, let's take the commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Guinevere from Roses of Yesterday and Today. Did you know Roses of Yesterday has been shipping old garden roses and selected modern rose plants from Coralitos for over 70 years? To have in your garden the very rose of which Shakespeare wrote will to most of us lend an added glow of beauty. Please visit our display garden with over 300 varieties of rose bushes. Come smell the roses, these living antiquities, and enjoy a picnic in the rose garden. Potted roses are available every day, year-round, and bare root roses are available January through May. Please visit rosesofyesterday.com or call 831-728-1901. Mother's Day weekend is our annual open house featuring full bloom in the garden. We will be on hand to answer your questions, and complimentary iced tea, lemonade, and cookies will be served. What an interesting world it would be if the greatest were still with us, alive and representative of their era. Alas, they are gone forever, but the rose in its infinite variety still survives just as it flowered in ancient times. Call 831-728-1901 and ask for Guinevere or visit rosesofyesterday.com.
Brilliant traditional dances and stories of ancient China come to life on stage when Shen Yun presents a spectacular spring performance. Live on stage at the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Heroic legends come to life, dazzling warriors clash, and divine goddesses descend from above in this unique and unforgettable production. A recreation of incredible celebrations of China's legendary golden age. The divine beauty of the East is brought to magnificent life in a stunning performance unlike anything you've ever seen. Don't miss this thrilling event for the entire family. With four performances only, May 15th through the 17th at the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Gift certificates are available and they make an excellent Mother's Day present. For tickets, call 1-888-JOY-2009, 888-JOY-2009, or order online at sfshow.net. That's sfshow.net for Shen Yun's spring spectacular performance.
Life's pretty good, business is great, and people are wonderful. There's so much more to life than the subprime loan mess. We live in a place many others can only visit. Randy Turnquist understands that. There are buyers who are buying and sellers who are selling. If you need help buying or selling a home, or just have questions about your situation, give Randy a call at 831-566-2590 or toll free 888-496-9655 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
You'll see us hiking in the hills of Boulder Creek,
walking the sands of Seabright,
or the orchards of Watsonville.
We're members.
We're employees.
We're the people of Bay Federal Credit Union.
We live in a special place.
Forests meet beaches.
People of all types blend together.
We celebrate our diversity.
To live in harmony.
That's why I bank
at Bay Federal.
It's a credit union.
A not-for-profit.
A new way of banking.
It's local people helping local people.
Bay Federal has been making a real difference in our community for over 50 years.
The money saved here stays here.
The loans it creates stay here, too.
So the artist in Davenport can open a gallery.
A family in SoCal can buy a home.
Or the farmer can help feed the world.
Join us to make a real difference.
In your life.
In my life.
And the lives of everyone here.
Bay Federal Credit Union.
Making a real difference.
Learn more at bayfed.com.
Forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blasting, goes cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes the T-Bird away.
Are you getting complaints yet?
No.
This is about the time when people start calling in to complain about my singing.
Oh, no. No, that was actually awesome. I thought it was funny. Daniel?
If somebody wants to sing, I think they deserve to sing.
I think so. Singers have rights too, Dan.
I know. It's like, if they want to sing, they can sing.
Yeah. I like him. How cool is he?
He's pretty cool.
That is cool.
My brother's cool, too. And so is our phone guest, Eileen Lewis. Now, I want to ask each one of you. I want to ask, what's it like to be a young person in this world today? Who wants to answer first? Don't all answer first.
Let's do rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, I can't do rock,
okay,
paper,
Elaine,
scissors.
Okay, Elaine, if you guys are arguing. Eileen, excuse me. Eileen?
Hello?
Yeah, what's it like to be a young person? Be honest.
What's it like to be... Well, I'm not that young.
How young are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, what are you doing? If I would have known that, I wouldn't have even invited. You're an old fart.
I am. I'm really getting up there.
Oh my God! Then
I duped you.
Wait, being 24 is old?
Well,
I'm middle aged.
I was figuring, you know, 21. Isn't that the age most people graduate from college?
Yeah, I took a few years off. I was working and whatnot. So, but I'm back. I'm going to finish in a year. So.
Okay. So you were a little retarded in your. You know what I'm trying to say.
I
want to be
you're
politically
saying.
Correct. I don't want the phones to
poor
start ringing.
Poor choice of words, but huh? I know what you're saying.
You're retarded. I'm digging myself deeper and deeper.
I'll just forget that you said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you must have taken. If you tell me you've taken 3 years off, then it's okay.
Yes, I have.
All right, that's okay. So what's it like to be a young person? Because you're still young if you're under 30, really. But I was thinking 21 or under for this program. But
I just
assumed.
See, that happens when we assume that.
Yeah.
What a hypocrite.
Okay, so what's it like to be a young person?
Yes.
Well, especially college age, you know, when we graduate, we're going out to a job market that doesn't exist, you know. I have friends that graduated. They're working part-time jobs at restaurants. You know, they're not able to do so. It's really difficult right now.
I graduated from college in 1972 from UC Santa Cruz. And I might as well be I was talking the same way you are talking now back then. I thought, I got a college degree. And why can't I get a job anywhere doing anything other than something menial?
Right.
So I don't think much has changed since then. But go ahead, tell me some more about what it's like to be. It's obviously frustrating that you can't get as nice a job as you thought you might be able to. Here's a question for you. If you were younger, when you last were in college, you know, before you took the break, mm-hmm. were you not as politically active as you are now?
And I wasn't, and that's because Barack Obama hadn't been on the scene yet. Yeah, I'm one of the people that got involved in politics because I was inspired by Barack Obama. Before that, I hated politics. It was the source of family arguments all the time. Thanksgiving wouldn't be as fun as it could have been if, you know, and my family, they're all Democrats. They couldn't agree on anything. So I did not like politics, and I wasn't interested. But when Barack Obama came on the scene, I started getting really interested with the message he had. And basically, I just, you know, I wanted to get involved, and I took political science classes, and I just became really interested in, you know, that if I took action, I could help people and I could make change.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there's been change, I mean, in the first 100 days?
Yeah, I think so.
Moving,
I mean,
in the right direction.
The past 8 years. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, not, you know, we got dealt not the best hand of cards, not the best cards, but, so I just, I'm supporting the president, and I think what he's doing is on the right path. But going back to being a young person, it is difficult. And something I noticed with the Republican, my Republican friends, is that we do want to work together. You know, there is a desire for being bipartisan. The CSUMB students, the Otter Republicans, and the Democrats, they hang out together. They promote each other's clubs. You know, there's not as much partisan bickering going on here. I think there's a new movement for people to actually start working together. Uh-huh. And I think that was a great topic for the lecture that they had.
I do, too. Do you think that that Barack Obama opening up communications with at least generally regarded enemies of the United States, like Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, for example. Do you think that's a good thing for the same reason that you were just talking about just a second ago?
You know, and I do, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this probably, but I believe open discourse and reaching out to people is more beneficial than, say, ignoring people or just, you know, having this unilateral approach that isn't really going to get us anywhere, as that's just done. But I think just, you know, the open discourse, and I don't think that shows weakness at all.
Uh-huh. Okay. We do have a caller. I want to have a lot of callers here, so I want to invite people to call in. Our number is 479-1080 in area 831, and we'd like you to participate in this program. We have Eileen Lewis from the student at the Cal State University, Monterey Bay, and Danielle and Miguel Soriano, who are high school students at Pajaro High School, here in the studio. And again, our phone number is 479-1080. Margaret will be our first caller here, but I want to finish up on the line of communication, on the question here. What do you think it's like to be a young person? And it's a crazy question, I know. Go ahead, Daniel.
Young.
it's just young. How young are you, by the way?
I'm 16.
Uh-huh.
16 years old, and maybe right here is
18,
aren't you?
Yeah,
he's
18.
Pretty sure.
Oh, okay. And just that's your answer, young? Okay, I guess that's a good answer. I guess.
Well,
but I figured you'd be a little more articulate.
No, I can go farther.
Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, I feel young, but the reason I feel young is because I feel like new. I feel inexperienced. I feel kind of different from the older people who have already had so much experience with every other little thing in their lives. And mostly I would be one to say, like, I haven't been there yet. So truthfully, I feel excited because I get to try all these new things out and see why are they complaining so much.
Very interesting. Okay, what about you, Miguel?
Being young, it's all right. I mean, I can't wait to... Well, back then, you know, what they say, young people want to get older, the older people want to get younger. But I assume that that's only because they missed that time in their lives. And what the young people want is to, like my brother said, experience those experiences that the older people have had already. But enjoy it. I mean, I don't really necessarily hope to grow up too fast. I mean, I'm still enjoying my youth. You only get to be young once, I know that.
Tell us a little bit about your family background. What do your folks do?
My mom, she runs her own daycare center.
Uh-huh. And my dad is a social worker.
Uh-huh. And you guys, have you always lived in the Watsonville area?
Pretty much.
Like, were you born native to this area now?
Not me. I was born in Mexico City.
Really? Okay.
And I was born right here in Watsonville.
So, okay. So during that two-year period, your folks pulled up stakes and moved from Mexico City to the Pajaro Valley?
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Interesting. Okay, now you've probably heard people say, or maybe you haven't, but I hear it a lot, that the world is such a dangerous place these days, and I fear for my kids and grandkids and what they're inheriting, both in terms of the economic debacle and the challenges of terrorism and so forth. What do you think about that? I mean, you guys don't have much of a basis for comparison because, you know, you're young. But boy, when I was your age, it wasn't nearly as scary a world as it is now. And you guys don't seem to be too concerned, and I think that's pretty cool. Somehow things will work out, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like to waste my time worrying about what could happen. I take precautions once in a while, but honestly, if I take as much time worrying about it as I would enjoy myself, then I wouldn't enjoy myself as much, especially in my youth.
What are your plans for both of you for the future?
Well, for me, I've been really into creative writing lately. I've been writing a few poems, a few short stories, and I kind of plan to write a book. So for me, it'll be a little bit of becoming an author.
Future author.
What'd you say?
Future author.
Future author. Okay, what about you?
Me? Well, my passion is music. I'm a musician. I have my own band. I participated in the school band. So it's been almost 10 years since I started. I know, like,
God, you were like 8 years old when you started a band?
Oh, no, not my band.
No, not the band.
What are you talking about?
Started me playing music.
I started playing music. Oh, okay.
I was there.
Oh. If it was that long, I think we would have become famous by now.
Okay.
No, then you'd be like the Naked Brothers band. That wouldn't have been cool.
Well, this is great. Yeah, so by the way, off the air during the last break, I asked you guys what you thought FM as an FM radio was, what the FM stands for. Officially, it's frequency modulation, but, you know, around here in talk radio, we say FM stands for four morons.
I'd say that's a pretty good
definition. And what do you think AM stands for?
Absolutely morons.
No! Active morons.
Okay, high five.
That was great. They high-fived each other. That's terrific. So Eileen Lewis listens to talk radio. Do you guys listen to talk radio?
Yeah.
And if you do, don't give a commercial to the competitor, but just to like she did. But that's okay. It's okay. All right. Let's go on and let's bring our first caller on. Margaret in Santa Cruz. If this is the Margaret, I think it is. Now, you be nice to Eileen and the youngsters, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
I was just wondering if they know how much Obama's bailout is totaled at today. And I've got a couple other questions, too. But do they realize what the total $1 trillion amount is?
I'm not good at math.
None of them? Okay, it's $14 trillion.
$14 trillion.
Okay.
Trillion is a one followed by 12 zeros. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm not counting.
Okay. So you're not any better at math than these guys. But I think that's true. A billion is one is six zeros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. A million is six zeros. Yeah. A billion is nine zeros. I know that.
Right.
And I think a trillion is 12 zeros.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And then I was wondering, do they understand what the Panetta Institute Agenda 21 promotion is about? And if they could give me two negative aspects of that Agenda 21.
You ever heard of that?
And then third, do they understand that there are six law firms that are at an estimated cost of over $800,000 to $1 million that are keeping the law firms hired personally by Obama, and they are keeping sealed his passport in the past, his college entrance record, and his thesis. And I was wondering what you thought of a president that will not allow anyone in the public to see this before or after he's president.
This is a good. These are good questions for Eileen to answer first.
Got any questions, answers?
If you care to, Eileen.
That's $800,000 to $1 million.
Will you be quiet and let the people answer for a change?
What did you say about the Panetta? What did you call it? Something 21? I couldn't quite hear.
Panetta Institute Agenda 21 promotion.
I'm not familiar with what that is.
Mm. Well, can you, in a nutshell, Margaret,
and not make sounds like that?
Yeah, Margaret, I agree. Don't ridicule what people say. If you can give us a real quick encapsulation, like, you know, in like 20, 30 seconds or something, about what Agenda 21 is, and that the Panettas apparently have something to do with it, right? Is that what your point is?
Yeah. He and Sam Farr have their signature on all the Agenda 21. Okay.
Is it possible for you to, in a nutshell, tell us all what particularly the young people here, what Agenda 21 is?
I would be better serve you by grabbing my notes on that, so I could call you back in about 5 minutes. Looking that up on my computer. I don't have it all memorized. I've got all kinds of other stuff memorized, but I don't think that's funny. And then the other thing I was going to say is, what country has open borders on planet Earth? You tell me one country that has open borders that allows open immigration.
The USA.
No, our border is not open.
Oh.
It is penetrated.
Oh, okay.
But it is not open.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, Margaret, thank you
there
very
you go,
much.
Kids.
Appreciate
it
for your call. Here's the next caller. Anybody want to respond to any of that?
Well, not in particular.
Not in particular. Okay. All righty. Next caller. By the way, if you want to call us, it's 479-1080. If you're outside of the 831 area code, you'll have to dial the area code first. 479-1080. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Four more minutes. Only four more minutes to the top of the hour. And a K's commentary after that. A world premiere, Kay's commentary. I can't wait for you guys to hear that, and for you too, Eileen. But anyhow, yeah, give us a call. We got a number of callers here on the line here. Our next caller will be Brookdale Mike. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, MZ, I'll go real fast. What Margaret says about $15 trillion, I don't believe that number for one. I also graduated from college in 1972, and where I found my first job was at Texas Instruments in Houston, and I think that when you graduated, if you would have gone over the hill to Silicon Valley, they were hiring then, in fact, you didn't even have to have a major in engineering or business or anything like that, because I worked with a guy in Silicon Valley in 1976. That was a history major.
Well, I ended up making my own way, Brookdale Mike. I ended up, becoming entrepreneurial by the age of 21 here.
I understand, but what I thought I heard you say was that people were having trouble finding jobs.
And I was. And I finally got a job that I loved, and the boss would pat me on the back every day and tell me how much he appreciated me, and then one day he called me in and laid me off.
Okay.
I decided I need to become entrepreneurial, and I never worked for anybody ever since then. I never collected a paycheck.
I know, and you're doing a damn good job at it, too, I might say.
Thank you.
I would like the kids to know that Silicon Valley is a real big place over there, and they got a lot of companies, and as soon as things turn around a little bit, that might not be a bad place to look for work.
Sounds good to me. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. That was Brookdale Mike. Here's James and Ben Lomond. James, welcome to the Saturday special with Eileen and Miguel and Daniel and me, MZ.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, hey. I was listening a little bit, and, it seems like, these young people are, they're energized by, the current political climate because of, they see the change that, that's the real big word, with Obama and hopefully moving in a right direction. But I'm just curious to know, I was sort of, an environmentalist, when I was younger, and I really helped do some stuff for the Monterey Bay Sanctuary, and I got active during that part in politics. But I started to get, you know, really jaded about politics when I started to read more about the Constitution. I started to try to understand really how our, you know, government is structured. So my question really is, you know, consequently, all my perspectives have changed. I'm wondering what their perspective is on the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, have you guys gotten to U.S. government yet? Yeah, you probably have, Miguel, right?
Yeah, I'm actually.
Because I think it was a senior. What, you had to be a senior to get to take government class when I was in high school.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's a required class. You take it your last year, and if you don't pass, you don't graduate.
Uh-huh. So you've studied the Constitution probably, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? I think it's a great question that James asked, actually. What do you think?
Well, the one thing I would have to complain about is the whole, with it says in the Constitution, everyone has a right to pursue happiness. Not to mention that all men are created equal. Yet there's such discrimination and differentiation between people in this nation. It just, you know, makes me consider what. Do people even follow the Constitution? Do they really believe in it when they can't follow one of the main points of it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I hear what he said. I really can't hear him very well on my connection, but you know, it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that all men are created equal. That was in Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
No, it's in the preamble.
It's in the preamble.
I know.
Yeah, that's the preamble is part of the Constitution.
Right, it's what we always talk about.
Well, it's in the preamble. It says that you know, it's in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility to ourselves and our posterity, you know, to ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. But you know, those points I think are trying to establish the basics of government. You know, which is government is only supposed to do the bare bones minimum. Make sure that we're not attacked by invaders, and that, you know, that's to provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, which is basically, you know, a lot of people have different interpretations of that, but most people, you know, can agree that if people keep their hands, if the government keeps their hands out of people's lives, then, like, they're bringing up the point about being able to cross the border, and then you use the analogy of you know, being able to build your house. Those are both situations where the government is interfering in the people's lives and able to, you know, go after their happiness or, you know, pursue their happiness. I think what I'm really wondering is there a passion for freedom and for liberty in the young people today? Do they know the price? Do they know the cost?
We haven't heard from Eileen for a while, and wow, this is terrible what I've done. I've allowed the program to run into Fox News. We're already a minute and 25 seconds into it. Would you guys mind holding that thought? Would you mind? Okay, you can stay with us, Eileen, can't you, or do you have to go do your studies?
I do have to go do my studies, actually. How much longer are you on for?
Well, we're on for another hour, but you can stay as little or as much as you want, and we hope you'll stay a little bit.
I'll just stay for a little bit, and then I gotta head off.
James, stay there. You're asking some great questions. We're going to say that this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and here's Fox News in progress, and it's probably a commercial by now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens.
News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Pope Benedict continuing his visit to the Holy Land by reaching out to Muslims.
Pope Benedict XVI gets a bit of a dressing down on his visit to the King Hussein Mosque in Jordan. Prince Ghazi bin Muhammad talking about the Crusades and telling the pontiff that the Prophet Muhammad has been misunderstood by the West for centuries. For his part, Pope Benedict trying to mend fences, calling for unity and harmony between Christians and Muslims. This a far cry from his speech in Regensburg, Germany in 2006, suggesting that Islam had a tendency towards violence. In Amman, Jordan, Greg Burke, Fox News Radio.
Pakistani forces hitting by air Taliban positions in the Swat Valley.
The very latest is the military saying that 55 more militants up in the Swat Valley have been killed in the last 24 hours. That's in addition to the 143 they announced were killed yesterday. So over 200 have been killed since this full assault began in the Swat Valley on Thursday.
Fox's Scott Heidler reporting, Pakistan has been trying to flush out an increasing Taliban militant presence. Fun in the sun, maybe not so much.
And too much sun might be a bad thing? Researchers in Sweden found it could drive a person to the edge. They studied suicide rates in Greenland, where long summer days often cause insomnia, and found there were a cluster of suicides in the summer months. The researchers speculate that light-generated imbalances in serotonin, the brain chemical linked to mood, may lead to increased impulsiveness and, in combination with a lack of sleep, drives people to kill themselves. House Call for Health, I'm Carly Pouliot, Fox News Radio.
There will be no charges filed in the case of a five-year-old corpse found in Piedmont, California. Cops say the body of Patricia Bostrom was found back in February, sitting in a chair in the living room. She hadn't been seen in 5 years. The medical examiner says she died of natural causes. Her daughter had been identified as a person of interest. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast. We got sunny skies the whole weekend. Today we got a high of 74, west-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear with a low of 52, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday mostly sunny with a high of 76, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your boaters forecast for the Monterey Bay, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. Tonight, west winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming northwest 5 knots after midnight, and wind waves 2 to 3 feet, with a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 9 seconds. Current temperatures, it's 59 degrees in Salinas, it's 61 in Watsonville, and 55 in Monterey. We're at 58 here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios. And don't forget, today is National Letter Carrier Food Drive Day, helping out with the hunger. It's actually donations to Second Harvest Food Bank. So go ahead and put non-perishable food by your mailbox, and they will pick it up. And if you can't do that today, up until Tuesday, you can take it to any of the fire stations. They will have barrels there. So don't forget to do that. And the official time is 11:06 and 48 seconds on this Saturday, May 9th, 2009, MZ's half birthday. Next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special with the half birthday boy, MZ. So let's tune back into that.
You know, I used to use my fingers. You know, when I was a kid, people would ask me how old I was. You know,
I still use
four,
my fingers.
You know, and then five. And I kept doing it. Even after I was 20, I would just hold it four, two, three,
flash.
Four.
Perfect.
Know. No, four, oh, one, two, three, four, that would be 40.
Yeah.
With both hands. One, two, three, four, five, and then seven, and then half a finger.
Well, can whatever. You do the half? Get a curl it.
People will think that I'm issuing a profanity or something.
Oh, yeah, that won't be good.
Yeah, so, right, not good. You're not supposed to, not allowed to do that on the air anyhow, right? So, yeah, what'd you say there, Daniel?
But they can't see you.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, so I guess we can do that on the air. I could make obscene gestures on the air and nobody could see you. Thank you. Yeah, this is great.
They're such a good influence.
Yeah.
Good influence.
All righty, now, remember the good old days, Nikki?
I do.
Remember the good old days when you and Dave Michaels would do, what was it, a Tuesday noon balloon?
Yeah, we had a great time doing that.
And it's my understanding that next week, Dr. Corey Gold, who normally does host the noon balloon, is going to be out all week long on a cruise in Europe. Well, we have to rock
wow.
here in Santa Cruz.
How fun in Europe.
Yeah. But that leaves open five, count them, five, two-hour noon balloon slots.
Are you going to do the whole thing where you have a different person every week like we used to do?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We can't con anybody into doing what we've conned Dr. Corey Gold into doing.
Yeah, well.
All five. You know,
yeah. But it's fun having.
We want you and Dave on Monday and Friday.
I know.
Yeah. And are we working on that?
Dave is for sure doing it.
Dave is for sure doing mm-hmm. it. And what percentage would you say is of you doing it with Dave? Because as a team, you guys are great.
Yeah,
who
we are.
Who knows if
we
Dave will be any good by himself?
He's actually. I'm trying to get someone to fill in. Maybe Bo. But Rosemary, yeah, Rosemary's in charge
of
that.
Would be good,
so.
But I've got an idea. We'll discuss it afterwards. I've got an idea.
Okay.
I have a great idea, and I think it's going to put a smile on everybody's face. Now, let's start hour number two officially here.
Okay.
All right, and then we have, we only have James on the line. I want to get a pile of phone callers waiting here at 479-1080, and we won't make them wait long. We'll move through it pretty quickly. So 479-1080, if you want to talk to these fine young people. I don't know what happened to Eileen. She left and didn't even say goodbye. But let's start hour number two.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
Okay, expensive radio consultants have told me that I don't give the phone numbers out enough. So I'm going to give the phone numbers out now, 479-1080, but I don't want to step on this nice, sexy lady.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I will give out the phone number again. 479-1080. I'll give it out a different way. 479-1080. 479-1080 in area 831. We want to talk to you. So get those fingers a-dialing. And we want to have a record number of callers for our young people Saturday special. And I must be boring the hell out of Daniel because he's yawning. No. Right here in the middle of the radio program.
No, it's just that I woke up early.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep because
you were nervous about going on the radio or something else.
Not much. I had a little bit of insomnia. It must have been the coffee cake I ate.
Coffee
cake.
All righty. We got Ashley in Watsonville and Neil in Seascape and then Idle and Idle and Idle. So many people named Idle are called. What a strange coincidence.
Maybe it's because they idolize people, you know? Like the American Idol.
Oh, no, another pun.
Maybe. Hey. But, you know, we got to keep format because we did the tease earlier that at the top of this hour, as is customary on this program, mm-hmm. we are going to have a K's commentary. And this isn't just any K's commentary. This is a world premiere K's commentary. So take it away!
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Swirling.
Last week, Democrats in the House passed so-called hate crimes legislation, and the bill is now on the fast track to the Senate. It must be stopped now, before liberals succeed in sneaking it through the Senate. Proponents of this hate crimes legislation tell you that it cannot be used to stifle speech or thoughts. But others know better and have been sounding the alarm. The Alliance Defense Fund says it best, quote, so-called hate crime laws actually serve only one purpose, the criminalization of citizens based on whatever thoughts, beliefs and emotions they have that are not considered to be politically correct. No one should fall for the idea that this bill does anything to bring about greater justice for Americans. Also, the Liberty Council claims, quote, in and of itself, this law can be applied to speech. The nature of assault, putting someone in fear of their safety, what will that mean for someone preaching against homosexuality? The conservative weekly Human Events called the House passage of this bill, H.R. 1913, yet another Democrat move toward the Orwellian state. And even President George W. Bush fought this legislation on the grounds that it could be used to prosecute those whose views are out of line with those of the radical gay movement. Let's go back to our recent Miss California, who stated she believes that marriage is between one man and one woman only when she was asked that question. Since then, the gay community is now out to destroy her. Make no mistake, this horrendous piece of legislation is nothing more than long overdue political payback for the radical homosexual groups that have supported liberals in Congress for years. Congressman Louis Gohmert, a former judge, told Human Events about the radical nature of this hate crime bill and what happened when House Republicans tried to amend the bill so that it did not offer protection to pedophiles. The sheer absurdity of what Gohmert describes will make your skin crawl. He points out the stupidity of the legislation as written, which would warrant the prosecution of a woman under the federal hate crime statute if she hits a flasher with her purse after he exposes himself to her. Can you believe that exhibitionism is a protected sexual orientation under this bill? The one who does the flashing commits a local misdemeanor, yet the one who hits with a purse singles him out because he is an exhibitionist, and therefore she has now committed a federal hate crime and is looking at felony time. Time is short. If we do not act today, we may be unable to stop this Orwellian legislation from becoming law. Barack Hussein Obama, and now he wants us to use his middle name, will most certainly sign it. The bill is H.R. 1913. Send your urgent faxes to Obama and the leadership of the United States Senate. Tell them that H.R. 1913 must not pass under any circumstances. It is idiotic. Demand that they do everything in their power to defeat this perverse and prejudiced bill. For KSEO, this is Case Whirling.
Did you guys enjoy that commentary?
Well, can't say that I enjoyed it, but I... Okay, let me get this straight. So there's apparently this bill to pass about hate crime. So will it be supporting that hate crime be a regular felony, or would it be supporting that hate crime should be, like, gone? That's where I was a little bit confused.
I don't know.
Also, I was confused because it said President George W. Bush, because he's, like, not president no more.
Well, I was referring to President George W.
Bush. Okay, I get you.
It was a reference.
All right, I get you.
In the previous presidency. Okay, do you have any comments about the commentary, Miguel?
It was somewhat enlightening to know what's going on, because, you know, in school, you stick to school, and you don't always hear about the news out there. So anytime I listen to something new or something that's going on, I think it's enlightening. And honestly, if I don't understand it, later I go look it up.
Right. Yeah, and it's easy to do that with Google and the Internet these days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you want to email us, it's mz@ksco.com. I forgot to put that out here before. If you want to call us, it's 479-1080. We got almost full lines. I want to read a couple of emails that came in. Thank you, Meg Smith, who sent this email. All men are created equal, in quotes, is not in the Constitution. It is not a law. It comes from the Declaration of Independence, and so does the Pursuit of Happiness. Miguel, you and I were both wrong on that, because I thought it was in the preamble to the Constitution, and so did you. So my great thanks to Meg Smith for putting that in. It comes from the Declaration of Independence, as does the Pursuit of Happiness, which was originally going to be phrased pursuit of property. The equality they spoke of was equality in the eyes of the law. It did not mean the government was to take property or anything else and parcel it out equally among men. They are supposed to learn about the Constitution in the eighth grade. Remember? You had to pass the Constitution test before graduating. You know, if that's true, that went out of my brain. You know, I mean, it's possible that Meg is right here. Obviously, she had to do that back when she was in eighth grade. But I honestly don't remember that. I don't really remember even knowing anything about the Constitution until I was a senior and took government class.
I agree. I don't remember anything from eighth grade about.
Roger has sent us not one but three emails. Mikhail, you're being too nice with these Democrats, and you know it. The young lady, the autocrat or whatever, from the Panetta Institute, is making it clear that the Institute is partisan. Sheesh! By the way, Corey Gold rocks. Okay, thank you, Roger. Let's see. Oh, ask the one from Mexico City if he got here legally. This is Roger. Now, you want to answer that question or not?
Will I get in trouble?
Huh? Probably not.
All right. Yeah, I did.
You got here illegally?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And question for the two young men. Could you please ask the two guys if they've ever used the following terms? If so, how and why? Do they hear friends use the terms, these terms, in what context? And here are the terms. Guerrero, G-U-E-R-R-O. Guerrero.
Oh, Guero.
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 Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Oh, God. Yeah, mi español es muy mal.
No, está bien. Okay.
It's better than most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, güero. It's just pronounced mm-hmm. güero. Güero. What is güero? Can you güero, use that term?
It means Caucasian, basically.
Oh, okay. So, same as gringo?
Mm-hmm.
Because gringo is one of the other. There's no difference between güero and gringo.
Not really. That
was one more less complimentary than the other or anything like that?
I would say güero would be like the more insulting one, but uh-huh. I would say gringo would be like the more, you know, pleasing one.
Okay, just how about Anglo? Anglo's that term.
Anglo's like a scientific term, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I hardly ever use it. I never heard
it means
my
the same thing pretty much.
Yeah, pretty
I never
much.
Heard any of my friends use it.
Gabacho?
Gabacho?
Gabacho.
Yeah, gabacho.
No, I never use that term. I hardly heard of it.
I heard of it, but I never use it.
Okay. All righty. So that should answer your question. Roger thinks this could be interesting. Hope he found it interesting. Let's see. Vernette E. Godfrey has sent me a cartoon of Barack Obama in a hospital bed. Saying this is the best comic I've seen on Obama, and oh, how true. You don't stop laughing because you grow old. You go... grow old because you stop laughing. Let's see if I can describe this image. The biggest threat to the health of America, and it shows President Barack Obama in a hospital bed with his presidential seal, the President of the United States of America. And then the doctors are conferring with each other beside his bed. He says he has the pork flu. And then the other doctor says keep him sedated every time he awakens. He spends another $1 trillion.
Oh, wow.
So very, very good. You send me an email, mz@ksco.com. I will forward this to you. But it won't be until after the show is over. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special. And I think we're finally getting full of calls here to the station. James and Ben Lohman has been waiting for a long time. And we, as we asked him to, so we want to finish up with his call. Then we're going to get to Ashley, Neil, RC, and Mel. James, thanks for waiting, and let's finish up.
Yeah,
the news got us right in the middle of what you were saying.
Yeah, I just I didn't want to take up too much time. I really, it's just the core of the question really is to just gauge, these young people's passion for liberty and freedom and. If that's why I started the question off with the Constitution, because in my view, you know, it's a pretty good document. I mean, it's probably arguably one of the best documents ever written by mankind. And its objective, in my opinion, is to chain down tyranny. We came out of a tyrannical situation, and they never wanted to experience that again. So they knew the cost of freedom, and they, you know, they were intelligent people. They really wanted to come up with an idea that was representational to all people. They lamented over the fact that they had slavery. You know, most did. Most freed their slaves. These were, in my opinion, a godly people, and they cared about people, and they cared about the condition of their country. So I'm just wondering if they, you know, because I'm raising kids too right now, and I'm looking at the educational system that they're going through, public system, and I'm not seeing a real emphasis on these issues, these topics. So that's why I'm wondering what their perspective is on freedom and the Constitution.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call. You can listen to their answer on the air, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. What do you guys think? What's your response to what James said about, you know, you understand liberty and freedom, and do you ever think about it and that kind of stuff?
About freedom?
Yeah.
Well,
I think about it a lot the older I get and the more I see things changing in our world. But, you know, I didn't live through the Depression, so I don't think about, I haven't traditionally thought about, you know, how things could be much more horrible than they are economically for us right now. I mean, I've always been pretty blessed, and life has always been pretty easy for me, but I'm starting to get a little concerned. You guys ever get concerned about your freedom and your liberty?
Sometimes.
What makes that happen?
Well, first of all, it would be a little bit of the situation that we're living in right now, because first of all, if we want the freedom to, like, get a job or, you know, just be successful in life, like the Declaration of Independence says, the pursuit of happiness. If we want that, we are all, like, entitled to it, to that freedom. But kind of in the situation we are with the economy and everything that seems to be going down, unemployment goes up, we're not really going to have that much of
freedom. How about the terrorist threat, which Israel and has lived with for as long as I can remember. Are you concerned that that it might become a way of life for us in this country? You know, not just 9/11, but regular terrorist attacks? I'm starting to be... I don't want to alarm people, but I'm starting to worry that that could become a reality. What do you guys think?
Terrorism?
Terrorism on our own soil. Not just one act of terrorism in the last 6 or 7 years, you know, from 9/11. But I'm talking about just the way people in Israel live all the time. You never know whether you're going to be blown up on the bus that you're taking or in the supermarket that you go to. Can you imagine living like that here? I can't imagine living like that here, but I'm starting to worry about things like that here, because our country is being overtaken by a lot of people whose religion preaches that we Americans are evil and should die unless we change to their religion.
No, I don't really think
You think I'm sort of overdoing it, overreacting?
Not really. I get what you're trying to say, but I'm not really pretty sure that it's the religion that's more to a cause to this, because religion to me is more of a way of guidelines to help people better themselves. So in the way that it's kind of the way you're saying that religion could be the way that they're saying these Americans are evil, that they should, you know, change to our religion, is actually just a more of a way to say, you know, maybe they're not making the right choices right now, and maybe they should, like, listen to us a little bit more and understand, like, how we feel. So that's kind of what I'm getting through all this. So with the whole terrorist things, the terrorist attacks here in the U.S., like September 11, we see that people, like, freaked out all over the place. People were scared. They were highly patriotic. I was. I was, too. But the thing is that it reminds us a bit like of Pearl Harbor, because we freaked out at that one too. It was the Second World War. There was like Hitler was coming to
jail. I wasn't alive then, nor were you guys, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what I know about Pearl Harbor is that the country, you know, came together and stayed together. What a difference! The company came together, liberal, conservative, everybody. We were all Americans for weeks after. But not much more than weeks after 9/11.
Because of that point, we were all working towards the same goal.
What happened? What's different?
A war.
Okay, the Afghanistan war that most people were behind, but not the Iraq war that a lot of people were against. So that's what you're saying is the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty. Want to get back to the phone lines here. Let's go to Ashley in Watsonville, who's been waiting a while. Thank you, Ashley. Welcome to the Saturday special with Miguel and Danielle and MZ.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to Miguel and Daniel. Hi, guys.
Hi, Ashley.
And I wanted to tell you guys how really great it was that they went to the Panetta Institute. I think that it was really awesome because it's about time that everybody started talking about the two opposing political parties, and I think personally that there needs to be something done because there's all this arguing, and you turn on the news or you turn on the radio, and it's just so much arguing.
Well, in our small way, that's what we've always tried to do with our station, Ashley. I don't know how long you've been listening or if you're only tuning in for the first time because of your buddies being on now. But
no, I occasionally listen. I listen to the Fox News part of it. But, it's really great that the radio station is doing it too, but I wish everywhere, you know, everybody could just get together because I think, personally, it's time to stop fighting when you could be working on more. When you can use both, I don't know, maybe like talents, you know what I mean? Both talents to put together and help fix the country, not fighting.
I sure can't argue with any of that. Can you guys? No, I don't think anybody could. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just wanted to say that and tell Daniel and Miguel that they're doing an awesome job, and I can't wait to talk to them about it on Monday.
They're great guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley. Here comes Neil in Seascape. Welcome to the Saturday special on KSCO. It is your favorite radio station, isn't it, Neil? Neil?
Neil.
Hello?
Come on, Neil.
I think he's there.
Maybe Neil. Well, I'll put Neil on hold and come back a little bit here. Let's go to RC. RC in Aptos. You're on KSCO on the Saturday special.
Hey, fellas. How you
doing? Maybe it's because I asked Neil if it was his favorite radio station, and maybe it's not. Maybe I put him on the spot and he didn't know what to say. It is your favorite radio station, isn't it, RC?
I'm listening, aren't I?
No. Answer the question.
Of course it is.
Good, good, good. That was the right answer.
Anyways, nice to talk to these young fellas. Let me give, this is, sounds like an advice show, and I hate giving advice to people who don't ask, but I couldn't help myself. The advice that I have to these young guys, there are things that I wish that people would have told me when I was their age. Number one is when you go into the work field or into the work industries or whatever you choose to do, fatten up your 401k. Shove it all in there early. When you get to my age, you can retire. So that's number one. The other thing is when the issues that you've been talking about politics, my advice to you guys is to opt out. Opt out of the Republican-Democrat discussion or their marketing points of view. They're just marketing industries. All they're trying to do is to get you involved so you can participate and get them in the re-election business. And they're going to do whatever they can do.
He's a smart dude.
They're going to do whatever they can do to get re-elected.
RC, you are a smart dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Are these guys nodding their heads too?
I bet I'm not telling them anything they don't already know.
Well, the first one I didn't know. But thanks for the advice. I mean, I really appreciate that because normally young people like us, we're the easiest people to
manipulate.
Mm-hmm. And if people don't tell us anything, then that's what we'll be, just following the shepherd.
As far my observation about the two political parties and their desperate goals to get reelected, I mean, it's career for them, And in my opinion,
you know,
a lot of
people... Once they get elected, they don't do anything except try to get reelected.
Absolutely.
God.
And
a screwed up system.
Someone else
is
doing
what I'm about to say angers a lot of people. But
don't worry. When you anger a lot of...
taking the country to war, if it means taking the country to the brink of economic collapse, that's where we're going. If that means that they can continue to have like a 90% reelection rate. So if you can... my advice would be to opt out of that unless you see an opportunity to change that model. I don't believe that you ever will. I think the horse is out of the barn. And I've never heard of a good idea of how to turn this thing around. But it's going to be your guys
in
the world.
Well, wait a minute. Are you telling these guys when you tell them to opt out and you don't know, we're not suggesting what they should opt into, except keep their minds open, are you suggesting that until they find whatever this new thing is, that they shouldn't vote?
In my opinion, voting for the two-party system is just contributing to pushing our country towards that cliff.
Whoa.
So what the
interesting, you could be right, but boy, I just can't.
Well,
I can't imagine giving anybody advice to not vote.
I'm not saying that
you're stopping short from saying that.
No, I'm saying vote when you see that there's an opportunity to change that.
And otherwise, don't bother if it's Tweedledum and Tweedledee, huh?
Well, not only that, I believe that you would agree that we've had a two-party system for the last, 75 years, maybe?
It's more moving toward a one-party system right now.
Well,
what's happening in this country. Agree with me?
Definitely.
Yeah. I believe that it is a one-party system. It's a re-election system. Now, both of them have different marketing techniques, but the goal is the same, and that's re-election. And a lot of the goals, the two big goals, or the two marketing approaches, that is militarism, which is very deadly and very expensive, and entitlement programs. Both of them, you won't hear any of both of the two parties suggest that we stop funding those two programs. And so, I think you're right. We may have only a one-party system. There are these other peripheral...
I don't know if you quite... You agreed with me that we're heading toward a one-party system, but I'm not sure you would agree or you understand why I'm saying that.
Go ahead.
I'm saying that because the Democrats are in total control now.
Sure.
And the Republicans were. There was a time when the Republicans were in total control, but they weren't being so reckless in what they're doing. I mean, with no regard for common sense at all, and obligating the country to just untold trillions of dollars. And I don't know whether Margaret was right with her trillion, what did she say, 15 trillion?
I thought she said 14 trillion.
14 trillion. I don't know whether she was right or not, but I know that it's many, many trillions of dollars, and even $1 trillion is a huge amount of money, for our future kids and grandkids to be, saddled with.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's totally reckless what's going on, and that's what I mean by one party, by moving toward a one-party system.
Well, the thing
and
is...
as a Democratic and I didn't notice that happening when the Republicans were in control.
Well, remember, at the end of the Republican, I hate to get into Republican-Democrat, who's better, who's worse. They're both, to me, they're both taking us towards the cliff of no return. But right before George Bush left office, he started funding the bailout.
Yeah.
So as soon as he went out, Barack Obama...
So he's exactly the same as what you're saying, pretty much, right?
I believe he has to.
As Obama. They were headed in this direction, and if for some reason Bush could have had a third term and would have been elected...
He would have taken us down the same path.
He wouldn't have been elected. He would have taken us down the same road as what you're saying.
Yeah, I believe he would have taken us down the same path.
Okay, well, that's another reason that we're headed for a one-party, or we are in a one-party system.
And something? I have nothing against the people that lead the Democratic or political party. I like George Bush. I like Barack Obama. They're both nice guys. They're personable. They're great. They're great speakers. I like their poise. But
Obama's a much better speaker than.
You may be right.
Bush
is a little underrated. I really believe he was.
Yeah.
But my opinion, it is just the process of getting themselves back in power, reelected over and over again.
Absolutely. Well, RC, thank you for your call. We finally have jammed phone lines. I've been waiting for this all day.
Sure.
So appreciate your call to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. I heard you say it.
It was fun.
AM 1080 KSCO. Mel in Santa Cruz, you're next on the KSCO special.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mel.
I went to high school with you, and I definitely remember the Constitution in eighth grade being a big sweat. You had to learn it perfectly, or you didn't graduate on ninth grade. So I don't know why you didn't remember it.
Because I'm sort of getting too old, and Alzheimer's is setting in, or whatever. That could be the only reason. That could be the only reason.
I was a political animal.
Thanks for bringing it up.
At that age. I call myself a constitutionalist because I don't know what else to call me. When I was sworn into the Army, we swore allegiance and protectiveness to the Army over allegiance and protectiveness to the government at hand. So that tells you something.
Right.
And I am that way. That's why I call myself a constitutionalist, because that's where my allegiance lies. To the Constitution of the United States of America, not in whatever things the current presidency is supporting.
Well, listen, Mel, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special and to bring us to point that out, that indeed the big part of eighth grade was the passing the Constitution. You guys remember that? And this is a horrible connection from Judy in Aptos. Is that you, Judy?
This is Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie. Oh, it's Jeannie. Well, Jeannie, would you mind hanging up and calling back? There are open lines. Let's hope we get a better connection, because I want to have you. Okay, thank you. In the meantime, let's go back to our guest who has mysteriously reappeared and surfaced. It's Eileen Lewis.
Hello.
What happened to you?
Sorry about that. I didn't know how to say bye to you. I decided to do my paper, and then I couldn't concentrate at all, so I'm like, okay.
You missed some great people. You know, missed some great calls. But okay, you're back. Okay, so were there some things that you wanted to say and didn't get a chance to, or something?
No, not
okay.
in particular.
Well, look, here's what I'll do. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can listen. Okay, and we'll check in with you now and then, because you know, putting people together, it'll work, but sometimes it's sort of echoey and doesn't sound all that good. Besides, I got to get back to Jeannie here. So keep listening. By the way, it's 21 minutes before 12 noon on AM 1080 KSCO. Let's go back to Jeannie and hope there's a better line. It's not all that good, Jeannie, but go ahead and talk.
That's good, Michael. I have an interesting question. These two young men, what did they teach in school on the textbooks and the teachers regarding population? Are they being taught that there's too many people in the world, or are they being taught also that we create the pollution?
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold here because that sound is just horrible. you have an answer for Jeannie's question? Are you guys being taught anything about...
Yeah, I took environmental science, AP environmental science. Great teacher, by the way.
Mr. Martindale.
Yeah.
Mention the name. We like to know who great teachers are.
Mr. Martindale.
Okay.
What was his first name?
Gary, but he doesn't like us calling him that.
Oh, whatever.
He says, you can call me that when you graduate.
Oh.
Anyways, I took that class. I learned about population growth. Basically, we're overpopulating, the demand for resources. It's basically now a fight between everyone else in the world for who gets what. And, well, it was a big subject in there because, obviously, we don't want to fit. We're expanding way too much. We're soon to lose all resources we have. We don't have enough food. There's poverty. And that's one of the main reasons why, also, if I can get into politics here, why there's immigration also and why it's a big issue. I mean, America seems to say they have it all, and there's, I don't know where they say there's room for them, but apparently that's what immigrants assume there is.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go back to Jeannie real quick. I'm so excited because my own government teacher, Soquel Bob, is calling, and he's on hold here. But Jeannie, you have a follow-up to that real quick here?
Yeah, you can see the mindset of what they're teaching our children in school, and it's pretty devastating. Thank you, Michael.
Wait a minute. Why do you say it's devastating?
Because everything they're teaching are lies. We have the greatest production of food in the world, in the United States. So there's not that many people in the world. There's 6 billion. And we can go up to 12 billion to feed the people in the world. So what they're going after is the private property and production of food. And that's the way they're going to control us. So if they can indoctrinate the children in the school saying that we do not have the right to own private property and create wealth out of it, which is expressed in the United Nations Sustainable Development, then we become the villain, we become criminal, and that's where the laws are going now, all the regulations on private property. And Michael, in the future, if we become the criminals, we it's okay to kill us eventually through vaccinations. And by the way, Margaret was right. It's $14 trillion that Obama has given in the books. And the question is to these young people, and I'll take the answer off the air, is where is the money going to come from of Obama giving all these monies out to Europe and throughout the world, not only the United States?
Thank you, Jeannie. There, that's a great cue for Eileen Lewis, who's on the telephone here. We're going to go back to Eileen. Do you have a, you have an answer for Jeannie's question, Eileen, because you're quite the Obama supporter.
Well, just going back on the food thing, yes, we're overpopulated, and yes, we do have the ability to feed the world, but we're destroying crops. We're destroying them, and we are, you know, we're just paying for that. So I don't really understand that, and I didn't know what she was talking about, killing us through vaccinations.
Okay, well, she was asking where all this money is going to come from, and I figured, you know, we could put that out to all the guests, but I figured, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I figured, you know, since you were pretty active in the Obama campaign, you might be able to answer better than anybody here.
Or, not necessarily.
Oh, okay. So, all righty. Well, then we'll put you back on hold, and let's hear from my good friend and the person who got me very interested in government and politics, and that's my good friend Soquel Bob.
Hi there, everybody.
How you doing? I like it when you say, hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
You're right. I like it, too.
I want to commend your guest today for getting involved, and that was one of the things I wanted to emphasize, if I could.
Bob, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it have been great if they had the Panetta Institute back when, you know, when you were teaching and I was learning? And I think it's just fantastic. I really do.
Well, it would have been good if they'd had the Panetta Institute if both sides were equally heard and equally listened.
And they are, from my observation, they do a really good job of having both perspectives presented beautifully.
I respect Leon Panetta, but there's other people who think that there's too much emphasis on the conservative side, and I'm not sure that's true. But
with Panetta? Yeah. With the Panetta Institute?
Yeah, one of your rival radio station owners made that allegation the other day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, what I wanted to say is a couple of things based upon time constraints. As I said, I'm glad that these young people are involved. I wonder if they've heard of the local central committees. One of my political mentors, a man called Tip O'Neill, who was Speaker of the House, said all politics is local. So what you want to do is start local. Get involved with the Republican or Democratic Central Committees. They're elected people, just like your representatives and state legislators are elected, and congressmen and the president. Have you folks heard of the Democratic and Republican Central Committees?
No.
Mm-mm. No, the answer is no. Neither of the guys have. Hold on a second. I'll bet Eileen Lewis has. Have you, Eileen?
Yeah, I'm on the Central Committee here in Monterey.
Good for you, Eileen.
Thank you.
What you have to do is you have to get elected. But even if you don't run for the Central Committee, you can get involved and go to the meetings. So that all politics starts at the local level, I think.
I think so, too.
And that's where you find out what your local representatives are doing. One of the things I also wanted to emphasize was you can find out how your representative votes. And your senators vote. There's a book called The Almanac of American Politics. put out by the National Journal. If you send for that, you'll find that every congressman, every senator, every governor's record is described. Every vote is described for your elected representatives in that book. I can give the phone number. On
yeah, go ahead, Bob.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, we got to go get it first, I guess.
Right here, 1-800.
Okay.
356.
356.
4838.
4838. And this is the number to what now?
The Almanac of American Politics. It goes into to previous voting records of senators and representatives and the records of them and the governors and the ratings of various organizations, the liberal and conservative organizations.
Well, well, thanks for putting that out, and I want to thank you. I've done this plenty of times before.
Excuse me, Mike. It's yeah. On the downside, it costs $75, but it's so complete. It's bipartisan and nonpartisan. It's worth getting hold of it.
Isn't something like that available for free or for a greatly reduced cost, perhaps online?
Possibly on the library, maybe online.
Uh-huh.
No. It's a book that's indispensable in terms of the difference between the two parties. And there is a difference between...
I'll bet there's a website that has all that information for free. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
You might be able to get that information. You will be able to get it on the website. This is a reference like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
Know what I mean.
Bob, before we let you go, didn't you used to say that a lot of people think back in the 60s when I was your student in the U.S. government class at Santa Cruz High? Yeah, 1968. Didn't you used to say back then that there were a lot of people who thought that the choices are between Tweedledum and Tweedledee, you know, with the Democrats and Republicans? Don't you think that's really, really, really the case right now, as one of our previous callers suggested?
Generally speaking, no, not at all. If you get hold of this almanac, you can see how the different people vote, and you find there's a pattern. There's a weight given to how the Democrats generally vote and how the Republicans generally vote. You look at their voting records.
Okay.
And which organizations... Support them in the ratings that the different organizations support. Excuse my voice, it's my Parkinson's disease. But
but there are benefits to that that we've discussed off the air, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing.
I'm sorry, it's a bad taste, but this is something that Bob suggested to me once. Never mind. Go ahead, Bob.
Some people feel that way in terms of their voting records. I don't feel that way at all. For example, you can get Obama's voting record when he was a senator in the latest edition of that book.
Okay.
And
well, listen.
The other thing I wanted to say is politicians in general. I don't expect politicians to be perfect. They run for political office, not for sainthood. And I don't agree with everything that my representatives voted for 100% either. But I guess I'm in the minority. I'll take 90% or even 60% or 80% when I'm voting. But one of the things that should be said to your guests as well as other people, don't get turned off on the process. Imperfect as it is, it's all we've got.
Yeah.
And to study the
don't even think about not voting, obviously. So, okay, Bob, thanks very much for your call. It was great to hear from you.
Bye.
You take care. Let's go to our next caller. Martha in Watsonville has been waiting for quite a while. You're finally on KSCO. Martha, welcome.
Hi.
Martha.
A couple of basics. Kay Swirling is the greatest, the most, and she says it like it is, and she's truth. Don't ever, ever take her off.
Oh, we wouldn't think of doing that.
I know
that.
You won't. But
there would be hell to pay if we did that.
Oh, just keep encouraging her. And also...
our audience would probably crucify us if we did that.
Very simply and basically.
Yeah.
In America, there is so much freedom and there's so much goodness. And no other place, I bet, in the world, could that young man say that he was here illegally and get away with it and stay on the air. That is a bad example for everyone. Goodbye.
There goes Martha in Watsonville. Here comes Bill in Monterey. Bill, welcome to the Saturday special with the guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was wondering...
And Eileen's also with us, too. She's not a guy.
The overpopulation question.
Yeah.
Vernon brought it up that if you put four people on a quarter acre of land, the whole world's population will fit in Texas. And I think that about Dash is that philosophy that the world's overpopulated. If you can fit the whole world's population in Texas, come on. I think a lot of people have a myopic view of the world. They look around them and think everything's like that. Their circumstances are portrayed everywhere in the world, but that's not the case. And people should look in the dictionary, look at the square miles of Texas, and you'll fit the whole world's population in Texas. So it's ridiculous to think the world's overpopulated. And we must remember that...
The whole world's population in Texas?
Now, I looked it up, Mike, in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yes. It might overrun a little bit in Oklahoma.
You guys buy what he's saying?
Russia's a big country. I think you can fit at least everyone there.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't
but
say
not
like
Texas.
Maybe even China. Maybe.
Definitely China.
But Texas?
No,
really?
Definitely China.
Yeah, but Texas?
No,
really?
Every
single person right there in Texas.
Bill, all of us think you're all wet on this one.
They can barely fit in China.
All I need to do is go to the dictionary, look at the square miles of Texas, or the acreage, and talk to Vernon. He brought it up. I didn't believe it, and I looked up the square miles of Texas, divided the population into it, and he's right.
We'll check it out.
It may overflow into Oklahoma a little bit, but it isn't that much.
Okay. All right, it'll be definitely densely populated. Thanks for your call, as always. Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Mike. Always leave it up to Bill over there to pick on the Okies, huh?
Uh-huh. He just did.
A little bit overflow into Oklahoma. It come out of Arkansas anyway. So.
Yeah.
These young men that have got the nerve to get down there at the radio station. The other young lady has got the nerve to get on the phone and at least talk to people here. I'm impressed, man. It's like you said, if we would have only had something like this with, say, Mr. Lister and the Panetta Institute when we were young, we could go learn about politics.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Instead, we had Mary Duffield. And she
pretty good.
It was because
sure,
she
that
took
was great.
She took us to radio stations, TV stations. It was called the mass media class.
Yeah,
that's why we are in that class.
Yeah,
that's why we are where we're at today.
Right.
And we're looking at these young people. We're going to put them down for what?
No one's putting them down.
We're not going to put them down for anything. We're going to leave an open door so they can always come back.
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally.
I mean,
Richard.
Yeah.
We got to. Nikki's giving me the high sign. I'm going to be in big trouble. We have to do the commercials.
Well, as long as she's not giving me the finger, I'll get off the air.
She did give me the finger. Now she's giving me two of them.
Okay, goodbye.
All right. Here's the commercials. Let's play the commercials. Kill the promos, but you'll do the commercials.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Hi, I'm Katya.
And I'm Alex.
And
we are owner...
Hi, I'm Katya.
And I'm Alex. And we are Nature Elements Landscape Design. Oh, and by the way, we have a radio show, too. It's called Viva Gardens.
Where we talk about everything outdoor living.
Yeah, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about roses, succulents.
Wildlife, gardens.
Barbecue recipes.
And music.
Don't forget to tune in on KSEO AM 1080 every Sunday.
From 9 to 10.
For a full hour.
Of everything outdoors.
Viva Gardens.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. You know, your roof does more than just sit there. It's home and protection for many other living things besides yourself. It houses things like bees and birds and bats, termites, roof rats, once in a while a raccoon, silverfish. They're not really a fish. Yeah, these living things can be in your roof right now. you might have moss and lichen. Lichen? Yeah, it's a scabby-looking thing. You might have Johnson grass or bull thistle growing out of your gutters. I've even seen squirrels and possum. Well, folks, if it's been a while since you've had your roof looked at for critters and winters, call Knox Roofing. Keeping water out of your house is important, but you might be considered a zoo if you're not careful. Maintenance or replacement is the answer. Knox Roofing's here for you, looking after your roofing needs for years now. Okay, call 461-0634 anytime. Thanks, folks.
Walls knows walls. It's true. Since 1977, Walls Painting has set the quality standard for painting contractors in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties. Diamond certified and a member of the U.S. Green Building Council, Walls Painting was recently awarded the prestigious contractor accreditation by the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America. Call Walls Painting today for a free no obligation estimate. Mention Walls Knows Walls and get up to 15 gallons of paint absolutely free with any complete interior or exterior paint job. Hurry, this offer will expire soon. Walls Knows Walls, 425-3622 or wallspainting.com.
Brilliant traditional dances and stories of ancient China come to life on stage when Shen Yun presents a spectacular spring performance. Live on stage at the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Heroic legends come to life. Dazzling warriors clash and divine goddesses descend from above in this unique and unforgettable production. A recreation of incredible celebrations of China's legendary golden age. The divine beauty of the East is brought to magnificent life in a stunning performance unlike anything you've ever seen. Don't miss this thrilling event for the entire family with four performances only, May 15th through the 17th at the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Gift certificates are available and they make an excellent Mother's Day present. For tickets, call 1-888-JOY-2009, 888-JOY-2009, or order online at sfshow.net. That's sfshow.net for Shen Yun's spring spectacular performance.
We're on.
Oh, we're I gave you the countdown. Okay, okay. Go ahead and give a speech, you guys.
You go.
Okay, so this pretty much, the whole program is about to end. Like, it's almost 12 o'clock, so we're going to have to be leaving soon, so I'm just going to make this short and quick.
Okay.
So sweet. And so basically, I came in here today excited because I wanted to be able to, like, find out what a young person here, like, represents. Someone like me. Someone like my brother, someone like Miss Eileen right there.
Yeah.
Not an old fart. Oh, yeah. Not an old fart.
I was just kidding. You guys know that.
24 years.
I know.
You're 57
and a half. I'm an old fart, for sure.
No, not even
you act young, though, so honestly.
If you act young, you're young. I mean, like, age continues, but maturity, that's the one that you have the power to change, definitely. Uh-huh. Always. So I came here excited and open-minded to everything that was supposed to be spoken. And I've been getting this sort of feeling that things are, they are a little bit against us because, like, the one lady, I forgot her name, probably Margaret. She kept talking about how our school was a little bit screwed up because it kept talking about things like overpopulation and how...
Go ahead.
And also how that other one man kept saying that you can fit the entire world's population into Texas.
Uh-huh.
And so far, what I've been hearing is that the world, that we haven't used up any land. We haven't really used up any land for, like, housing or cemeteries or things like that. But we have. And that's why overpopulation is sort of a big issue, because that's what we're up against right now. We can't really build no more houses. Cemeteries are gonna take up much, much space because people keep dying. And overall, we can't burn down trees because we're not the only ones living in this world. We have other animals and other species that also we kind of need to survive on, and they need us. So in a way, yeah. So I came in here, and then there was talk about the economy, $14 trillion that Obama's spending, and so far I've been hearing, like, a lot of controversy about how he's spending it and how it should be used.
Or where he's getting the money from.
Exactly. And so I've just been thinking. And then I've really been seeing that there really is this big partisan divide. And it doesn't seem to be...
Wait a minute. You knew that long before you walked into the station.
Yeah, here, but right? I wanted to see if it was true. I mean, people can say things, but they can't really be true. Facts are the enemies of truth. So I wanted to see if this fact was true. So it turns out that there really is this big partisan divide and doesn't seem to be clearing up anytime soon. And maybe, I don't know why, maybe people are going to be too stubborn to stay with their party because they've been there for a very long time, so they feel like devoted to it. Or maybe they just feel like they actually are true, that they have the point, and their arguments are just going to continue. But if there really are separate arguments, then how can either of them be true? That's what I'm kind of not getting here. So after all this time, I realized that there really is this big partisan divide. It's not going to end anytime
soon. Let's try to let's work towards that end. Is that cool?
Totally. I mean, yeah. You're probably right,
but let's, you know, it certainly isn't going to end if no one tries.
Definitely. The reason
let me put Eileen on real quick here. Eileen, you want to wrap something up? We're way over the end of the news now, but, you know, just like 30 seconds, and we got Tim and Felton who probably wants to plug his show here, but we got to go pretty quick here.
Yeah, definitely. I just agree with a few points of a lot of your listeners and their interrogation style, but I'm a Democrat. I always will be, but that doesn't mean I won't listen to opposing ideas, you know, that'll enrich my understanding. And a message to young people, get out there regardless of your political affiliation. Get involved. Get involved now and don't wait.
Yeah.
So can the partisan divide end? Karl Rove said no, but he also said Obama's not a socialist. I didn't get to